Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. I want to read verse 28 down through verse 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. How has life been for you? Has it been without burdens or toils or troubles? Or perhaps has your load been borne by another so that you have not experienced its weight? Well, probably not. In fact, I would surmise that every one of us here bear a burden or two. Maybe some are heavier than others. Perhaps some are not quite as heavy, but they're more bulky, and they're just not very easy to grasp. Whatever the case, the cares of life may weigh us down. Our responsibilities can be a heavy burden. Afflictions, trials, and troubles may afflict us. Add to that the burdens of our hearts and our souls. I would say that if we had the opportunity to stand in that crowd, perhaps on the shore of Galilee, that his appeal to those who were burdened would reach unto us. He got their attentions by talking about heavy burdens. Their ears perked up at the mention of rest. Even so, we too, we take an interest in what he has to say. For our burdens are heavy. We're tired. We're worn out. Exhaustion may grip us, but we know not how to find relief. And then we hear the words concerning rest. His appeal demands a response. He says, come, come unto me. So it is, my friend, today that I point you to Jesus. With all your care, with all of your burden, in the midst of your toil, your strife, and your pain, I say unto you, turn to Jesus. And that's the title of the message today, Turn to Jesus. Let's pray to Him. God in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in this house. And Lord, we realize some could not make it due to the inclement weather. And others are sick and others are traveling. Lord, we pray that you bless all these. Thank you for those who are able to be with us today. And Lord, we ask that we've come together in your name that we might honor you, we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask that you heard our prayers and that you'll receive the songs to your praise and your glory. And Lord, now you'll bless this portion of our service as we look into your word, that, Lord, you take that word and apply it to our hearts by your Spirit. And Lord, we pray for those that are lost in our midst today, that they would see their condition apart from you, and may they have and sense that burden of sin and condemnation. And we pray that you would grant them rest today, that they might be saved. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have, but yet the troubles and the cares of life might be weighing us down. Lord, you know every heart. And we ask that you be pleased to comfort and to ease those burdens as well. So help us as we study, and may we be increased in our faith because of it, and may your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through verse 30, I want to speak to you today and encourage you to turn to Jesus. First of all, as we look into this passage, I want to mention to you that there are two types of burden. Now in verse 28, as we read the first part of the verse, and we're going to find two words that are mentioned here. That's really not my idea of the two types of burdens, even though there are two different aspects here. But the application of these is what I'll mention and why I mean two types of burden. But notice what he says, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Two terms here. The first word, labor, means to be wearied or spent with labor. It is to faint from weariness. In the New Testament, it may be applied and translated as to labor hard. And what that is when you go out and you work all day, the sweat of your brow, boy, you just work hard, don't you? It's difficult. That's to labor here. And I know that jobs vary in our society. Some have very difficult, strenuous, physically demanding jobs. Others have less physically demanding jobs. But the work is to work, and the work can be very difficult, can be very hard. That's that word, to labor. Now he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now that word means to load or to burden. And so that's when something is placed upon your shoulders. And so the two aspects of this is the matter of working hard, but then you also have a burden that might be put upon you. And both of those can be very difficult to bear. Now, when I think about these terms and the way they're used in a text before us, there are three things that come out from the Greek language that you won't recognize as you read the English very easily. But there are three things. First of all, when he mentions here about come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, it involves many. It's even a universal in thought, because both of these terms are in the plural. He's not talking about one. He's not talking about two. The sense is all ye that labor, very many, practically universal. And the truth of the matter is, I've gone through my life and as I've gone through ministry, I don't think I've ever met anybody that was absent of troubles or trials or burdens. We all have them, don't we? You have them today, even though you may put on a good show and people may look at you and say, well, they don't have a care in the world. Oh, I'm sure that they do. We all have them. And so he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Secondly, both of these terms are participles. And what it is, that carries the sense of it's a continual thing. And I realize as we go through life, there are times where it may be very difficult, very strenuous, and other times might be eased, and you might go on vacation and just relax, kick back, and you just might let yourself float away for a while. And you put your cares aside. But the truth is, you know what? If we get over one problem, another problem usually arises. When you lay down one burden, another burden usually comes up, because that's the way life is. Life is full of troubles and trials and tribulations, and these two terms convey that, because the idea of the participle is it's a continual thing. And so he mentions here that all you that labor and are heavy laden, it just seems to keep going on and on and on. But also from this passage, within these two words, two aspects are brought out. And this is the third aspect I wanted to bring to you. One is there's the active toil, and the other is the received burden. And it comes from those terms, to labor and to be heavy laden. I mentioned unto you that to labor is to do a work. Well, that's an act of toil, the things that you're involved with. But then again, that burden is a received burden, because it's in the passive voice. And so it's something that is laid upon you. We might choose to go out and labor, but then sometimes there are burdens that are placed upon us that we wouldn't choose to take, but they're placed upon us, and you don't have any options. They are yours. They're given to you. And so we have the problems of life, don't we? We labor and are heavy laden. Now, aren't you glad that text speaks to those who are in that condition? Because, my friend, I submit unto you that we'd be honest with ourselves. We all can say, hey, that applies to me. Because all of us labor and are heavy laden. And so what are the two types of burden that I want to mention unto you? How I make application. Primarily, I see this as an evangelistic thought. I see this as an evangelistic thrust. And that means that a burden that you have, my friend, you're here and you're not saved. You're lost. You're undone. You're not a Christian. You know what? You have the burden of sin. Now, every Christian remembers that burden. Every Christian remembers being lost and what it was like to be apart from Christ and to be under condemnation and the penalty of God and to be looking and staring hell in the face and the burden that weighed you down. You remember that, Christian? Well, those of you here that are here and lost, you need to recognize that there's the burden of sin. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. You're still enslaved. You're still in bondage. And you might want to put on a brave face. You might want to ignore that. You might want to say, oh, I got life by the tail, and sin is no burden to me. Well, you may not sense the burden yet, but you will when you come to death. My friend, you need to recognize that outside of Jesus Christ, you're a sinner condemned. And there's a great burden attached with that. And we pray that God would move in your heart and convict in your soul and give you a burden in your heart, so that you would recognize your condition, so you would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Primarily, I believe Jesus is saying unto them, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You are lost and undone. Come to me. But secondly, I would make the application, and I think this is well applied within the text, is that it's the burden of the saved. When we were saved, all of our problems didn't disappear, did it? Did yours? Mine didn't. And I've met people go, you know, they say, well, I'm going to get saved and then I'll never have a care or problem in my life. Boy, you're sadly mistaken. In fact, sometimes being a Christian can complicate things. And it can even bring burdens on you. And because you're going to be found faithful and serving, you have to make some changes. The truth of the matter is, whether you're lost or you're saved, we all have the problems of life, the burdens, the cares, the toils and the troubles and the conflicts. But you that are lost, you have the burden of sin. We who are saved, we've had that burden lifted at Calvary. We've been saved. We've been forgiven. There's a peace in our heart toward God, that and a peace that passes all understanding. And we really can't explain it to you. All we can do is do our best to describe it and pray that God would change your heart and open up your mind that you might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and find the same kind of peace. But even being saved, don't we still have troubles of life? Don't we still have to deal with it? Any Christian here today doesn't have any problems or cares or troubles at all? I didn't see a hand. I wouldn't expect anybody to raise a hand because we have them, don't we? Now, so we have two types of burden that's being expressed, I believe, and that's my application within the text. Secondly, then, there are two types of rest. Well, that's because there are two burdens. Two types of rest. Verse 28, the last part of the verse, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, that word rest means exactly that. It means to cause to rest. It is to soothe. It is to refresh. Isn't it good to rest? Aren't you glad after a hard day's work, you go in and you sit down and vegetate a while? You know, you can rest up. You can go on vacation. You can get some rest. You can get refreshed. And Jesus makes an appeal to those who are burdened and are heavy laden and says, I will give you rest. Rest. Now, I want you to notice something here, that this rest is in response to the coming. Because he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And so if you choose not to come, then you cannot receive the rest. Does that make sense? And whether you're lost or whether you're saved, whatever the burdens are on your heart, if you refuse to turn to Jesus Christ, if you refuse to go to him, if you will not come, you will not find the rest. And so he says, there is rest. I will give you rest. But it's in response to your coming. So it's a future. He's just not making a blanket statement saying, all of you have rest right now. He said, you come to me and I will give you rest. And that's the promise, isn't it? Aren't you glad that God is gracious? He will provide rest and refreshment. And he will relieve the burden. Christian, you remember when you were lost? I spoke before about that burden in our heart, the conviction. You remember that? You remember when that was taken away? I do. I think you do too. What a joy it is to have peace with God. And even since you've been saved, aren't you glad that in the midst of your troubles and trials, God can give you rest? That you will respond differently than the way the world responds because God's grace and mercy toward you. He will provide the rest and refreshment, and he will relieve the burden. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And I just want to remind you, and I know there are a lot of resources in the world, but true rest only comes through Jesus Christ. You might get some relief if you numb it with alcohol or drugs. And you might get some relief if you do some other things. But you know what? True rest is going to begin in the heart, and that true rest comes only from Jesus Christ. Whether you're lost, whether you're saved, whatever burdens you have today, the true rest that you need comes from Jesus Christ. I urge you to turn to him. And so I say to you, as I mentioned before, there were two burdens, those who are lost and those who are saved. Those who are lost, only Jesus Christ can alleviate your sin. I can't do it for you. We were talking to a guy that was here Wednesday night, and I told him, I said, you know, I can't make you believe. I can't make you respond. You need to repent. You need to believe. And you're here today, you're outside of Jesus Christ, you're under the condemnation of God, you're lost. Only Jesus can alleviate that burden. Only he can give you peace in your heart. But what about those of us who are saved? He alone can only meet the Christians who are in distress. I know we can help one another, and we are to bear one another's burdens. We are to assist one another, and we can lend a hand. But as true rest comes truly through Jesus Christ, only He can really meet me in my distress. And you might get some help, and you might talk to the preacher, and you might get prayer, but where's real peace coming from? It's going to come from God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Dear Christian, in all your cares, all your troubles, whatever is on your life, whether it's hard work or the burdens that's been placed upon you and you feel like a pack mule ready to give out, you know what? Cast your care upon the Lord. Take your burdens to Him. Trust in Him. God can give you peace. In the midst of the storm, God can give you peace. So those two types of burdens, those who are lost and those who are saved who have troubles, can have the two types of rest. That is, those who are lost might be saved, and those who are saved might find what they need to have the peace to serve Jesus Christ. Then if you'll notice in verse 29, the first part of the verse, both demand submission. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Take my yoke. The word "take" here in the text means to take up. It is to lift up. It is to raise. It is to bear or to carry. And he says, "Take my yoke." The word yoke is properly a crossbar. It is a band or a yoke. You don't see it so much anymore, but in the olden days, you know, they used to yoke oxen together, yoke the horses together. It's a tie that would bind together. And so he says, "Take." They were very familiar with that term. And he says, "Take my yoke upon you," that which ties people together. And it's a crossbar or a band. Now he says, "You who are laboring or heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest." And he says, "You need to take my yoke upon you." Now I want you to notice something here. In verse 29 where he says, "Take my yoke upon you," as he makes the appeal to the masses, whether lost or whether saved, you know what? All who are burdened are commanded to come. Because this "take my yoke upon you" is a command. It's in the imperative. It's not an option. It's not, well, if you feel like it, you can take the yoke. No, he's commanding anybody that's burdened, anybody that has a laborer, to take the yoke. It's a command. And so whatever you're burdened with today, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, you're commanded to take Jesus' yoke. Secondly, you'll find in the text that any who is burdened may participate. And this "take my yoke" take the yoke that's there is in the active. You can participate. Isn't that good news, dear sinner? That you can have eternal life today, you can have forgiveness of sin. That is good news. You're here and you're saved. You know you have eternal life, but you know what? The burdens of life can be very difficult. Troubles can be very heavy. Work is hard. Aren't you glad that you can participate? You can take the yoke of Jesus. That's what He commands us to do. And so, you who are burdened are commanded to come. You who are burdened may participate. And really what this is, it's just really the receiving of His yoke. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Now stop to think about that for a moment. If you're going to take the yoke of Jesus upon you, what do you have to do with yours? You have to lay yours aside. You have to take your yoke off and take His yoke. He says, "You that are burdened and you that are labored, you take my yoke. Take the yoke off of you and take mine. Receive of me." And what this is submission to Jesus Christ. Whether you're lost, whether you're saved, you need to submit to Jesus, the Lord and Savior. Will you do it? Will you do it? Or you just want to keep on handling the cares of life on your own? You're just going to just grit your teeth and clench your fists, and you're just going to make it through. Oh, you can for a time, but it's not going to last, is it? You want true rest? You're going to find it in Jesus Christ. Sinner, you need salvation? You're only going to find that in Jesus Christ. So both demand submission. He says, "Take my yoke." Now you'll notice in verse 29, the second part of that verse, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Both require knowledge. The word "learn" here means to learn, or it is to be taught. The word means to understand. It is to comprehend. Now generally, in the New Testament scriptures, the word gnosko just means knowledge. He doesn't say, just get knowledge here. This word means to learn. It is to comprehend. And, by the way, again, this is in the imperative. It's a command. We who are burdened are commanded to take His yoke, and we're commanded to learn of Jesus Christ. And so in conjunction of taking the yoke, you want to learn of Him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And here's where a lot of Christians fail. They never learn of Jesus Christ. They don't comprehend anything about Him. They never read, they never study, they never seek His face. They don't hear the Word of God taught very much. And you know what happens is they don't know anything about Jesus. And I'll tell you, you hurt yourself if you put yourself in that situation. I encourage you, Christian, to take the yoke of Christ upon you and learn of Him. Learn who He is. Learn what He has done. Learn what He is doing. Learn what He will do. I mean, understand Jesus and His work and His provision. Understand Christ. Experience Him. Experience His yoke. Learn of Christ. Walk in His shoes, as it were. And He commands us to do that. We are to take His yoke upon us, and we are to learn of Him. And isn't learning a process? I don't know about you, but whatever I've learned, it just doesn't pop in there. I don't get it by osmosis, you know. It's a process. And we're always constantly learning. I hope that you continue to learn. And what you know of Christ today, that's a good thing, but we want you to continue to know Christ and to know more about Him and to know more of God and the Word of God. And also in learning, when you think about it, you know there's often a learning curve, isn't there? Often when you go to a workplace and they start training you on a job, there's always what you call a learning curve. Because no matter how much you're trained, you know what? You're just not able to normally, you just can't absorb everything. And normally what it's going to do is you have to get a hiccup here, a hiccup there, get a stumbling block there, because what it's going to do is you're hitting the curve. You can do the best you can, but you're not going to remember everything. Very, very difficult. But you know what? There's often a learning curve. And aren't you glad that God is there in that curve? God will help us and give us what we need. You're not everything you ought to be for Jesus Christ. I'm not everything I ought to be for Jesus Christ. I need to grow. I need to mature. I need to develop. I need to learn more of Him. Aren't you glad it's a process? And aren't you glad we can get those curves and we can improve and get better and better and better? And, you know, we just need to learn of Him. And in order to learn about Him, you're just going to have to sit in His school. You can't learn of Him and just ignore God all the time. In other words, if for you religion is coming in on Sundays, you get your fill of the service and that's it, and you check out. When you leave the door, you check out. And you never think about God, you don't pick up the Word, you don't have any concern about Jesus Christ, you go the whole week, and then at the end, you say, well, I'm going to come to church on Sunday, you come to church, and you get your fill. If that's what you do, you know what? You're not learning of Him, you're not sitting in His school. You really need to focus upon Jesus Christ. You need to learn, you want to grow, you want to interact with Him on a daily basis. Christianity is not a once-a-week thing or a once-a-year thing. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that occurs every day. And I encourage you to want to learn of Jesus Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. By the way, before we pass on, the derivation of this word that's used in the text is also for the word for discipleship. To become a disciple. Disciples ought to learn. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you're saved, you're a disciple. And a disciple ought to learn from the master, to follow after the master. So I encourage you, be the kind of disciple we'd have you to be. Take the yoke upon you and learn of Him. Now then, in verse 29, the latter half of that text, and into verse 30. I've gone through this text and I've submitted unto you that there are two types of burdens. I tried to address it to the lost and to those who are saved. There are two types of rest because there are people who are lost and those who are saved. But either one, both of these demand submission, and both require knowledge. Now, as we look into verse 29 and verse 30, why is it that man, whether lost or saved, has access to such relief? Now, he says, come, and I will give you rest. Why do we have access to this relief? Verse 29, the latter half of that text, first of all, he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We need to know who Jesus is. Didn't he say, learn of me? What did he say about himself? He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Two things about Jesus here that we need to know and we need to step into, we need to acclimate into our lives. One is, the word meek means mental, rather gentle and mild. It is to be kind. Moses was the meekest man of all the earth. Doesn't mean he was a sissy, but he was gentle. He was mild. And Jesus said, "Learn of me, for I am meek." And he says he was lowly. And this word means to be low in condition or situation. Someone who is humbled or poor. Modest-minded, if you will. Somebody who has a correct perception of who they are. Some people are proud and arrogant all the time, no matter what their condition. There's no humility about them. Now, Jesus says, "Learn of me." And why is it that we can have such relief? Because Jesus is mild. Because Jesus is lowly. And he's willing to share that with us. Now he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." You say, "Yeah, but if I turn everything over to Jesus Christ, if I yield it up to him, if I believe on him and am saved, my life will be so difficult after that." Well, notice what he said in verse 30, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." As a Christian, you say, "Well, if I really yield to him, then it's going to be so difficult. It's going to be so hard." He says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." The word easy means to be good or agreeable, something that is gentle, something that is kind or profitable. My yoke is easy, and he says, my burden is light. It is not heavy. Let's assume, and I almost did this, I almost got a couple boxes and put them up here, but hopefully I can just describe this to you. Let's assume that we had two boxes up here. And one was a big box, and one was just a little box, maybe a paper box or something like that, where you can get the reams of paper from the store. Let's assume we have these two boxes, and I say, "Here, take this little box here and carry that." You ever carried a box of paper? You know, that little box is only 8.5 by 22, 23 inches, something, you know, and it's got 10 reams in it. You know, that box is fairly heavy. It's not the easiest thing, and you say, "Well, that's not too bad. I'm a big, bulky guy. I can carry it." Yeah, you just keep on carrying it and see how far you go. It doesn't take long to wear somebody out. And you can take that little box, and that might be burden to you, might be heavy to you. And I might say to you, "Hey, I got this big box over here. Why don't you put that little box down and take this big box?" And you go, "Wow, I don't know. I can barely lift this little one and carry it any distance at all. Why in the world would I get that big box?" But that big box is light. Very little in it. And what Jesus is commanding us to do, he says, you take your yoke, your burden, lay it aside, and take my yoke upon you, and it might look difficult, it might seem very hard, it might be look to you to be very big and bulky, and you're just not going to be able to do it, and it's not a good trade. But he says, I tell you, he says, take my yoke upon you, and you learn of me. Why? Because my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The biggest burden you'll carry, my friend, is you carrying your own burden. Surrendering it to Jesus Christ, giving it to him. That's where the freedom comes in. That's where the peace is going to enter. If you want to carry the burdens of life, and sinner, if you want to carry the burden of sin, you can carry it all the way till you'll die, and then you'll lift up your eyes in hell and be in torment the rest of eternity. That's your choice. If you want to carry that burden. But I'll tell you, you can't get rid of that burden of sin except through Jesus Christ. He alone can give you eternal life. You have to bow to knee to him. You have to submit to him. Will you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And you say, but I can't live like that, and I can't be like that, and I'll just make a mess of it, and on and on and on, and all the excuses that lost people give and why they won't believe on the Lord and be saved. Well, you're looking at the burden, and you're looking at his yoke, and you're saying, I can't do it. Well, of course you can't do it, but he can. And he says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I tell you, dear lost friend, today you need to take down your burden of sin and give it to Jesus Christ and take his yoke upon you. And you know what? You'll find rest to your soul. You'll find a peace in your heart you never had before. And you'll go, whoa, why didn't I believe on the Lord years ago when I first heard of Jesus Christ? You carry what box you will, my friend, but I'm telling you, Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the reason we can have this relief, the reason we can have this rest is because of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us. And I'm so glad we have it. What a tremendous resource that's been made available to us. I encourage you, turn to Jesus. Now let me say a few things in closing. I'll be done in just a moment. You glance back at the text and just kind of summarize here. Number one, the invitation is to any and to all. He says, come unto me, all ye. I don't care who you are. I don't care whether you're lost or whether you're saved. I don't care what your burden is. All ye. The invitation is to any and to all. Secondly, the invitation is to turn to Jesus. We find that in the first part of verse 28 where he says, come unto me. Come unto me. Every one of us are to turn to Christ. Number three, the invitation is to trade our yoke in for his. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you trade your life of sin for submission to Jesus Christ and be saved? Would you, Christian, lay down your pride, your arrogance, your self-sufficiency, and take Christ's yoke upon you and learn of him so that you might find, oh, you know that you're saved, but that you might find that rest as you go through life, as you deal with the troubles and afflictions of life, as God gives a peace that passes all understanding. Would you want that today? Trade your yoke for his. Number four, the invitation is a promise unto rest. That's what he said in verse 28, wasn't it? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sinner, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Peter says, cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. So whether you're lost or whether you're saved, the promise is unto rest. And then number five, the invitation is to receive what you're looking for. So in verse 29, he says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Yeah, you do that. You respond. You come. And you take his burden and you learn of him. And you know what you'll find? Rest. Rest. You'll get what you're looking for. Sinner, you can find rest in your heart, peace in your soul. Christian, with the troubles and afflictions of life, you can still have peace. Oh, you have peace for eternity. But you can have peace here if you will go to Jesus, if you will take his yoke upon you, if you'll learn of him. He said he would give you rest. I give you this statement from Albert Barnes. If you're here and you're lost, listen, this is what he said. And I quote, it is easier to be a Christian than a sinner. And of all the yokes ever imposed upon people, that of the Redeemer is the lightest. End of quote. I just reiterate his words to you. You say, oh, it's too much. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. His is the lightest burden gone. Take it, will you? Sinner, would you be saved today? Christian, would you yield your heart and life to him? Your burdens, your cares, your troubles? Would you let him give you rest? Either way, I encourage you, turn to Jesus. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? Appreciate your patience, and I pray that God's word has been a blessing to your heart. And the invitation simply is this, right where you stand, that if you're lost, that you might see your need of Jesus. And the only way you can get rid of your burden is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. And if you're saved today, man, life can be hard. But I'm telling you, take Christ's yoke upon you and learn of him. He said he'll give you rest. Do you believe it? I do. May God bless you. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Strengthen us, guide by your Spirit, and meet every need of every heart. We honor you today. We love you. And we ask you to save the lost and strengthen the saved. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?